Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been flying along for a while. Pollenbrook Heights Baptist Church at the Center, flight 2012. It's been quite a flight. It's been something that has been pretty intense. And as we fly along, no doubt you have had turbulence and turmoil and challenges as we've been together. In fact, being in community together isn't always easy. You've had to learn to share, and you've had to learn to contribute into each other's lives. You've had to put up with each other's traveling peculiarities. And if not love each other, then at least put up with each other. We've been flying along for a while, and as we have, we've been enduring each other. But we don't want you to ask for any more parachutes or ask for the closest exit, as some of you have. Indeed, I would advise you that it's best to have the plane fully landed before you then step out and step off. This morning, though, we want to do something for you that no other flight has done for you. We want to do something truly unique in our flight together, and that is to give you your wings. Give you your right to fly, your license to come up and sit in the cockpit, and give direction to what we're doing on this flight to determine how high we fly, how fast we fly, the direction we fly in. You are truly given the legitimate opportunity to come and contribute to this flight that we have, Pollenbrook Heights Baptist Church at the Center, flight 2012. Now, to come and sit up in the first officer's chair may make some of you nervous. You're not quite sure how to handle that dynamic. You've never done that before, so you're a little uncertain about that. But don't worry. When you come up and you sit down and you strap up and you hold on tight, you'll be able to trust in the captain. And in trusting in the captain, you'll find that flying is of great delight to you. Before we fly, before we take off, and before you have your opportunity to sit in the co-pilot's chair, the first officer's chair, alongside the captain, I want to give you a few rules, a few details that are important to do that. We've been looking at our flight manual, looking at the chapter that is written by one of our instructors to other student pilots, called the Romans. We've been looking at the book of Romans, and if you're a guest with us today and you think, oh, this is very strange, why I'm using all these words of aviation and these references, we've been using the dynamic of going on a flight as an analogy to our lives together, in fact, our lives individually. And let me say this, your life as you live it is more real, more actual than any traveling you do. Because a flight can be canceled, but tomorrow can't be canceled in your life. Life is coming, whether you like it or not. There is a destination. There is turbulence. There's beautiful sunsets. But our life is like a flight. I'm not the captain of this flight. You'll hear about him later. I'm just the spiritual steward, the theological flight attendant, so to speak. As we've been traveling along in the book of Romans, as we've seek to understand how we live our lives according to God's will, last time we spoke about repulsion and repentance and rescue. You see, the dynamic in our lives, as you think about your lives like a flight or like a journey, is that as you travel around, sometimes your flight path looks like this. Confused, uncertain, fearful. We've all had times in our life in which we feel like we're just spinning. We wonder how it looks before God, before others, even in our own reflections. When we looked at repulsion, the dynamic that Paul speaks about is the repulsion of our sin. Repulsion of where we're at. This angst within us that says, I'm not who I want to be, who I should be, and who I can be. Which leads to repentance. All of us have experienced some of repentance in our life in which we said, we want to change. I want to be different. I want to be better. From repulsion to repentance, Paul then spoke about in chapter 7, rescue. Because him crying out saying, what a wretch I am, I want to change, I don't seem to be able to change, who can help me? And Paul ends with this statement, thanks be to God who rescues us through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we continue to fly along, today we're going to look at recognition and reservation and rejuvenation. To get an understanding of what those terms are so that we're all flying together in formation, let me share this. Recognition is to be identified on the basis of experience, having been known before. Reservation is advanced booking, the act of withholding something. Rejuvenation is to restore to newness, to be vigorous, dynamic, effective, to be young again. Recognition, reservation, rejuvenation. This morning I've asked Rocky's uncle to come and read for us. Uncle John is going to come and read for us from chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, it's misprinted in your calendar, I apologize. Romans chapter 8, 14, and then 16 to 23. It's also going to be provided just behind me. John, will you come up and read for us, please?
Doing Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 16 to 23. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies.
Thank you, John. I pray that God will guide and direct us and help us to understand this passage from his word, even as we live our lives in different ways, seeking to understand God. There's three things that we're looking at in this text. And as we look at those three things, the best analogy I could come up with is this. All of you, when you travel, have certain things that are very important. You have to have your passport with you. And your passport, when you travel, defines who you are, gives your picture of who you are, where you're from, where you've been, how tall you are, what color your eyes. When you travel, you need a passport. In other words, you need to be recognized. The recognition that we have as we travel, this is essential. We also, when we travel, have our tickets. And our tickets are tickets that are provided for us and give us entry onto whatever we're traveling with. And our tickets also give us the destination of where we're going to. They provide us with the legal means to get to where we're going and the right to be there. And typically, if you're like Janet and I, when you travel, you also have the itinerary of what you're doing when you get there. A map, perhaps. What it's going to look like. The things that you like to do and you expect to do and the things that provide excitement to you because this is where you're going. Where you're going. Your right to go there. And who you are. Recognition. Reservation. Rejuvenation. So I wanted to share these with you first because this text is one of those texts where it's best understood altogether, integrated, flying in formation, so to speak, So I've highlighted in different colors this dynamic of these three things working together. Because Paul defines who you are, your present status, like a passport. He defines where you have the opportunity to go, your right to travel. And he defines the future of where you'll be. And he does it with you, and he does it with the entire creation. It's an incredible passage. He does this six times. Repeats it six times over. So just let me quickly go over this dynamic in this text of what's still to come for us, where we are, and what's our rights. First thing, verse 14, he says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." In verse 15, I didn't have John read that this morning, but it says, "Through the Spirit we are adopted into sonship." We are God's children, it says. Spirit testifies we are. First thing is our passport. Who are we? Well, we're children of God. And goes on to say, as children of God, our passport says that we're children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs. We're going to have something. We have the right to something. In the midst of chapter 15, it says sonship. I want to just pause for a moment and help you to define that term. Because, ladies, sonship to Paul is first-class inheritor status. In his world, it was sonship. But it's not a gender term. He clarifies in other parts of the Bible that there's no difference between cultures, between genders, and between economic classes. Ladies, when I say sonship, or when you read sonship, it's inheritor status. First place inheritor status. There is no second classes in terms of this text. I just want to clarify that because it does say sonship twice. Sonship does not mean that you're male. Sonship is a positional thing. He goes up, but Paul goes on and starts in 17b, if we share in his sufferings, our passport, if we share in our sufferings, we may also share in his glory. What's our right? What's our promise? Continues in 18. I consider that our present sufferings, what's happened to us before, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed, the promise of our destination, he says. Continues, fourth time, he doesn't just say the individual, you as a person traveling along in your life, has a status and has a promise. He then extends it, opens it up wide. Because he starts and says this, for the creation waits in eager expectation. The creation, in fact, has a ticket. It has a destination. Creation waits in eager expectation for what? For the children of God to be revealed, for your passport to actually let you in. That's what creation's waiting on. Continues and says, for this creation was subject to frustration. The creation, if you will, has a passport of where it's been. Just read the news, watch the TV, and you can see what's stamped on our planet in terms of where we've been. It has a passport, so to speak. It was not subjected by its own choice, but by the one will who subjected it, in hope. And this is where we look at the itinerary of what's to come. The great hope is this. When we get to our destination, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay, the great itinerary is that all of creation is going to be changed, eliminated. Bondage and decay is going to be eliminated from this. Continues and says, and it's going to be brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. You see the ticket and the passport dynamics of that. It continues, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up until the present time. We ourselves have the first fruits of the Spirit. We have a promise. We have a destination. It's marked upon us by the Spirit of God. We groan inwardly as we eagerly await. Our status is such that we are still waiting. And ultimately, we're waiting for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. I have a map of Rome here. I have a map of Rome because I've never been there, but I sure want to go to the places that I see here. And they have, you know, like the little icons drawn out in terms of what's there. And Janet and I are just eagerly looking forward to a time in which we can go, maybe our 25th wedding anniversary. I'm saving up euros so I can go. This is my map of where I'm going to, and I want to walk these very streets. They're all kind of color-coded, and there's kind of no pollution and no traffic, and that's great. I don't know if it'll be there when I get there. But this is my itinerary, and we can see that in this text. I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you've been this week in terms of thinking about your worldview, in terms of your philosophy of life, whether you've been challenged. But what's fascinating to me is that this whole service is fitting. It's apropos. I would say it's almost spiritually or supernaturally aligned together, because we've gathered together in diversity of individuals and of the collective together, and we've stood and committed ourselves to the Paru family in terms of helping Dev and Patricia raise Rocky and Logan. And in committing to that, we are acknowledging them as Rocky and Logan's flight crew. They're the captains of their development. And we've standed and said that we would commit to them. This text here says that God is standing and committing to us. He's dedicated to us, to our development, to our growth. The Spirit of God is moving us along towards perfection, towards what he says right in the middle, for the children of God to be revealed. Wow. I don't know what that means. Somehow it has to do with God's glory. We may also share in his glory. Glory that will be revealed in us. That's fantastic. It's better than a map of Rome. It's fantastic. And all the images in this text, a child, childbearing, suffering, frustration, decay, trouble, and bondage of our world, waiting in anticipation, the glory of the future redemption. In a fascinating way, the dedication that we committed ourselves to with Rocky is an image of what this text talks about. It's fascinating. You're still processing this. Not sure what to do with my flight lingo or my example of going to Rome, or still thinking through this. Let me just share with you one of my favorite poems about flying. It's printed as well in your bulletin in the insert. I hope that as I read this, if you want to close your eyes and imagine yourself in the cockpit, go right ahead. This is one of my favorite poems, because when I got my pilot's license, I yearned for this time in which I would feel this sense of flying like a bird. Oh, I've slipped the surly bonds of earth and danced the skies on laughter-silvered wings. Sunward I've climbed and joined the tumbling mirth of sun-split clouds and done 100 things you've not dreamed of. I've wheeled and soared and swung. High in the sunlit silence, hovering there, I've chased the shouting wind along and flung my eager craft through footless halls of air. Up, up the long, delirious, burning blue, I've topped the windswept heights with easy grace, where never lark nor even eagle flew. And while with silent lifting mind I've trod the high, untrespassed sanctity of space, put out my hand and touched the face of God. It's an image of flying, but it's also an image of heaven. Anyone ready to come up and sit in first class officer's seat? Anyone wanting to come up and take control? Before you do, let me remind you of the primary rules of flight. So there's three that I need to remind you of. First is this. In order to be a first officer, in order to be a co-pilot, you have to first acknowledge the captain, Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of him you boarded the plane of your life, the plane of gathering with us together, the plane of being part of a family. It's because of him. You have to first acknowledge the captain. But once you've acknowledged the captain, then you can recognize who you are and where you are. Your passport. The fact that you are a learner disciple. The fact that you have this odd capability of suffering in this life in exchange for glory in the next. That you have this opportunity to be faithful through redemption. And what I've highlighted here, I've just taken out this that summarizes the dynamic of where you are. Those led by the Spirit, those led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The ones that will share in His sufferings and share in His glory. Indeed, the whole creation has been groaning, waiting eagerly for the redemption of our bodies. Those are pretty powerful words. Acknowledge the captain, Jesus Christ, as your Savior and Lord. Be God's child through repentance, obedience, and acceptance of His word. That's the first thing you need to do. In order to fly with the captain in this flight, you need to acknowledge him as captain. But the second thing is this. You need to check your reservation. You need to check your ticket to see where you're going. Check your reservation. Because Jesus Christ has made for you a reservation. All of us recognize that in 100 years' time, we will not still be flying. We will have, in fact, landed. We have a reservation. Christ has made it for you. And you are, your reservation says, right on your ticket, it says that you are an adopted child of God through Jesus Christ. That you are waiting princesses and princes in waiting. It says here, we are God's children, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. We may also share in His glory, glory revealed in us. I don't know how that works. Won't be this body. It'll be a new body. Somehow my identity will continue and God will share glory. And that glory will be seen in freedom and glory of the children of God. And we will be our status, our passport will say that we are children of God. The second thing to do is yield to His leading. Even if you suffer at times, even if you struggle with things, knowing that He brings justice to that which is done for Him. Third thing to do, always, 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 if you're sitting in that co-pilot chair, keep your eyes fixed because the great rejuvenation is coming and may happen while we're still flying. A flash of light and it will start. The great rejuvenation is coming. Anticipate it. It's coming, we may see it. Creation waits in eager expectation, it says, for the children of God to be revealed. I still think that's a fantastic thing to say, for Paul to write, that it will indeed be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Anticipating the rejuvenation that's coming, that gives us great hope. Hope beyond anything we face in this world, that He will renew us. New creation after our death, or maybe before. Anticipating rejuvenation gives you the wings to fly. Living for Him today, tomorrow, through the whole flight, and through all kinds of different weather. You have the opportunity to anticipate this. So let's go. Who's coming? Who's coming up because we need to have someone to take over the stick? to take the yoke, to sit beside the captain. Don't be nervous. I know that there's a lot's going on when we go behind this door. When we go and sit in that chair, we see all the different dynamics of what's going on in those buttons and dials and navigational instruments. The captain's in control. But he's asking you to step into the co-pilot's chair. Oh, there's lots going on in our fellowship. Good and bad decisions, discussions that we have. There's lots you don't know. But all you really need to know is Christ to sit in the first officer's chair, co-pilot's chair. So trust the captain. Trust the manual. And trust your community. Hop in, strap up, and hold on tight as we continue to fly together. If you've had any questions about what I've said today, you can go to your bulletin and you can make comments in it in the comments section. You can email me. You can call me. I encourage you to take a look at this text, Romans 8. Take a look at it in context that we haven't been able to address today. This is a fantastic hope that's being offered to us, the rejuvenation of the whole creation. It's a powerful passage. What I would like you to do, though, is stand with me because the captain has some things that he wants to say to us. So please stand. And as we say these words, this is the captain saying it. We say it together because we want to hear God speaking through each other as he speaks. This is what the captain said. Captain of our salvation said, "You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's an amazing promise.